This is PCJ Radio International.
Well, hello, friends and listeners, and welcome to another edition of Media Network Plus from PCJ Radio International. I'm Keith Parent. It rarely happens that television and radio broadcasters can pinpoint jamming. It's very rare indeed. But the Qatar-based Al Jazeera network has done just that. They said on their website, Al Jazeera can categorically state that Egyptian authorities are deliberately jamming its satellite signals and forcing it to change frequencies so viewers can tune in. Now, many foreign media outlets in Egypt right now have been targeted by the authorities, Al Jazeera more so. This is what they had to say this past week on their television service.
After the military coup in Egypt, Al Jazeera became one of several media outlets which have come under increasing pressure. International journalists have been detained, beaten, even killed. Television stations have been shut down. But Al Jazeera has been especially targeted. Our offices were raided several times, our journalists arrested, and even our satellite signals were jammed. Now, according to our panel of experts who've conducted an in-depth investigation, Al Jazeera has learned of several locations centered around the Egyptian capital where the jamming originates. Our trackers have pinpointed locations east and west of Cairo, specifically identifying military installations. Well, let's start with the first location. We'll call this Point A. It's west of the capital and situated on the Cairo-Alexandria Desert Highway. Well, our team of experts say the jamming is coming from a 1.6-kilometer radius in this location. It's mainly desert land and close to the Anathrum Valley prison. On July the 5th, 2 days after the military coup that ousted President Mohamed Morsi, the jamming started from this point on Al Jazeera's frequency on Arabsat. Here's Point B. It's eastern Cairo along the Cairo-Suez Highway. Well, at first glance, it just looks like a bit of desert land. Once you zoom in, you'll see a building in the middle of the desert equipped with satellite antennas and a telecommunications tower. It's also annexed to a large military installation. Here's a close-up of the building we're talking about. There you go. Well, our investigators found jamming from this location began on the 7th of July and was focused on Al Jazeera's Nilesat frequencies. The interference is still ongoing as we speak. Let's take you to the third location. It's an area of eastern Cairo called Heliopolis, a densely populated area, as you can see. Our 1.6-kilometer radius here lies on the junction between Airport Road, Athoura Street, and Al Marghani Street. Now, within this zone, we find numerous and important military installations, including the military intelligence headquarters, the army's public relations department, and its orientation department. The interference from this location also began 48 hours after the military coup and targeted Al Jazeera's frequencies on Arabsat. Now let's show you one of the most telling revelations. We'll call this Point D. It's also on the Cairo-Suez Highway. Again, let's circle in on our 1.6-kilometer radius. Once again, we find yet another military installation, but this one dwarfs the others in size. Well, it's clear from these satellite images this area is an exclusive military zone. The roads are all marked by Google Earth as martial passages, which means they're completely off-limits to civilians. In sync with other jamming operations on July the 5th, the interference from this base once again targeted our frequencies on Arabsat. Well, based on the team of independent investigators and on internationally recognized maps, it's clear the common link in all of these locations is the presence of military facilities.
That was Al Jazeera reporting on how their television satellite signal on Nilesat and Arabsat is being jammed by Egyptian authorities. This is a story that we're going to pay more attention to, and as it develops, report on it then. Now let's do a bit of an update on a story that we covered a few months ago. A number of months ago, it was reported that English frequencies for the BBC World Service, Voice of America, and Radio Australia were being jammed by China. This is unusual because traditionally China will jam frequencies in Chinese, Cantonese, Tibetan, and Uyghur. Now, what is interesting about what was happening with the English frequencies is they weren't jamming frequencies in English, maybe that were targeting China, but instead targeting hours of broadcast in English that were targeting other areas of the world. mainly Southeast Asia and Africa. Yes, China was interfering with broadcasts to Africa from Botswana because they were being picked up in China. Well, the Voice of America, BBC World Service, and Radio Australia all condemned this action. The VOA has taken measures to change some of its frequencies, including the BBC World Service. To find out more, we're now joined by Victor Gunatelica for an update on this story. Victor.
The BBC, to start with, the BBC is using two frequencies to South Asia, and one is completely jammed out. It's hardly usable. So they had to do something. And it's very interesting what they did. They started using Tashkent. And from Tashkent, the information I have, I like to credit it to Glenn Hauser, 131 degrees, beaming 131 degrees, that's almost direct south from Tashkent, to South Asia, to India, and on a narrow beam, which would give hardly any signal in China, and put in a good signal in South Asia. So the BBC appears to be, you know, in a way, going along with China. Okay, we won't send an English signal to China, but we want to reach our big audience in India, in South Asia. So we've done this, more or less, you know. So at the moment, the Tashkent operation is from 1 to 2 hours UTC, and 15 hours to 17 hours UTC. So 2 hours in the evening and 2 hours and 1 hour in the morning. And strangely enough and interestingly enough, the two frequencies are not being jammed.
Now, do we know yet if this signal is being heard in China?
Well, I don't know. I would appear, you know, Keith, the Chinese are very fast. They find things just in a matter of hours. And this has been going on for almost 2.5-3 weeks now. And it has escaped jamming. So I feel maybe the signal is not strong enough in China for them to jam it.
Or they probably realize that it's, you know, because of all the other jamming they do, to jam a signal that is maybe, you know, too weak, too much of a problem.
You know, Keith, an interesting thing is China, you're talking about signals which are strong enough or whatever, 4930, it's out of Botswana to South and Central Africa, VOA English, NetB, your favorite African service.
Right.
And that's getting jammed. That's getting jammed around 1900. Obviously, propagation is good, and China is picking it up. So, you know, they're very serious about jamming whatever is heard in China at fairly good strength.
Mm-hmm. All right, Victor, thank you very much for talking to us today.
Oh, it's a pleasure.
And I was speaking there with Victor Gunatelica at his home in Sri Lanka, talking about the maneuvers the BBC has done to get around some of the interference caused by China for frequencies targeting Southeast Asia and Africa. You're listening to Media Network Plus, coming to you from PCJ Radio International.
You can hear PCJ Radio while on the go with Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher is a free news, talk, and entertainment mobile app available for your smartphone. Downloading is quick and easy. Just find Stitcher from the App Store. Then, during registration, hit the promo code box and enter PCJ to get automatically entered to win $100. For more information, go to www.pcjmedia.com and click on the Stitcher logo on the right menu. PCJ Radio on the go with Stitcher Smart Radio.
I want to take a little bit of time to talk to you about an interesting antenna that I got 2 weeks ago, and I've been playing around with it and giving it, well, a good run-through, shall we say. It's an active antenna. This is an antenna that I discovered from many of our listeners in Japan who write us for our Sunday transmissions to Southeast and East Asia. Many Japanese shortwave listeners and DXers use an antenna made by Sony called the ANLP-1. Now, I'm sure that many of you have seen this antenna on eBay and other sites for sale. It is rather expensive. It's between $100 and $150, depending on where you buy it from. Now, this antenna has been on the market for quite some time. So before I got it, I decided to read some reviews that were already out there. Our good friend Thomas Witherspoon, who has a shortwave site, did a review about it, and he wasn't too hot on it. And when I contacted him through his site, I said, well, you know, the antenna has changed, and it actually has changed. So let's get into a little bit about it first, okay? And then I'll tell you what is different about the new version now. It is an active antenna. That's right, an active antenna. It uses two AA batteries to power the little box so you can tune it to what frequency you're listening to. It has very wide shortwave coverage from 3.85 megahertz all the way to 21.95 megahertz. Now, the little box that has the power and standby mode and the frequency selector is quite interesting because if you're listening to something, let's say, at 6 megahertz in the 49 meter band, you just put it to 6. If it's the 31 meter band, you can put it to 10 to 10 megahertz. And it's very easy to use. It's just a little wheel and it spins. The antenna itself, which folds up neatly into a carrying case, opens up like a pizza. Or the best way to describe it, you've probably seen photographers before when they're on location and they want to use natural light. They have these reflectors that they rotate, open up, and then they can reflect the sun anywhere. That's basically how it opens up and folds away. It's made of cloth in the center, and then there's the loop, and then a junction box at the bottom where you pull out a cable that is inside this little tuning box, and you plug it in. Now, first, what is different about this one? Well, Thomas Witherspoon, when he reviewed the antenna, he got it a number of years ago and wasn't impressed because he said all it did was amplify the noise. And yes, that was a problem with the first ones that were coming out. But nowadays, the new ones include a filter. Yes, a filter, which plugs into the junction box on the loop antenna itself, and then you plug the cable into it at the bottom. So this does make a big difference. How big a difference, do you say? Well, I decided to record a station off shortwave, a station that is normally not clear at this time of the day in this part of Asia, and that's Radio Australia, broadcasting on 9475 kilohertz. First, let's take a little listen to how it sounds without the audio filter. Well, there we go. That's how it sounds without the audio filter, picking up noise from all kinds of sources, from LED lights, fluorescent lights, computers, televisions, and everything else. Now let's listen to the same thing again with the audio filter.
The fall in growth and the currency slide come at a bad time for the current government. India's due to go to the polls early next year, and here elections are historically run with rural votes.
This has only happened.
Big difference, right? Well, you're saying to yourself, that signal's not very strong. Well, that signal is not strong to begin with at this time of day, but you can see how it reduces the noise. So this is, of course, a major improvement over the first editions of this antenna that they issued a number of years ago. It is an antenna that is rather difficult to find. I've only been able to find it from retailers in Japan and a few retailers overseas, but for some reason, the version that they sell overseas doesn't have this audio filter, which is very odd, don't you think? The other nice thing about it is the design. It's very easy to use, it's very light, very compact, and when you fold everything together, it goes into its nice carrying case, so it's very easy to put in your suitcase when you're traveling. And if you're at home, well, you can leave it strung up. And actually, I have to admit, the antenna itself is quite beautiful, actually. Looks like a pizza hanging somewhere. Now, I do like this antenna, but I should warn you, if you are planning to buy it, you need to take a few things into consideration. Now, Sony itself said that this antenna should not be used on the ICF SWL77, the ICF SW10, and the ICF SW11. After doing a little further investigation, I wondered why this antenna is not suggested for those receivers. Well, this is the problem. If you have a shortwave receiver that is highly sensitive, meaning you can use the WIP antenna and pick up stations all around the world with very little noise, this antenna is going to overload that radio and just create noise. So when I was looking for a receiver to use it on, I was going through almost every one that I had. I tried my Texan PL660, overloaded. I tried my Sanjin ATS909X and my 909, same problem. My Sony ICF2010, also overloaded. But I did have one shortwave receiver that didn't have that issue, and that was a Texan radio, the PL390. It doesn't have very good shortwave reception to begin with. It is a nice little radio, but for sensitivity on shortwave, it is quite lacking. After I connected this radio up, it was a completely different story, as we just heard in the two clips that I played a moment ago. So this is one of the things that you have to consider if you're going to buy an active antenna. There are a number of other ones on the market that range in price from $12 to $20 and either have the Deegan or Texan name on it. It's the same antenna. Of course, it's a lot cheaper and it's a lot more difficult to operate. This one, of course, is very easy to operate, but the price is a little hefty. But if you do have the money to spend on a good active antenna, I would suggest it. But first, check your radio. Check to see that your radio is not a very sensitive radio. Otherwise, all you're going to do is create noise. Okay, now let's rate this antenna. If you do have the money to spend, I say go ahead. But do check your radio first. Because if you're going to spend around $125, all you're doing is buying a noise generator. And that would, of course, be quite wasteful. If you do have a radio, by the way, that is sensitive, the WIP antenna or just even stringing a piece of wire is enough. There's no need for this. But if you have a radio that is lacking in sensitivity, but you don't want to replace the radio, and your radio is a decent price, then I would say go ahead and buy it. Overall, I am very happy with it, and I'm very happy with the amplifier or the device that connects to the coupler on the antenna that reduces outside interference. So this is actually a nice thing that they've added to it. I still have no idea why they're not selling this part as part of the antenna overseas. If you want more information about this antenna and see what it looks like, you can visit our website, www.pcjmedia.com, and in the news section, you'll see a video review of this antenna very soon. You're listening to Media Network Plus, coming to you from PCJ Radio International. Now, before we get to this week's propagation forecast, I just want to remind you again of the shortwave schedule for PCJ Radio International for listeners in Southeast and East Asia. We're doing some tests right now to find out, well, who exactly is listening. We're on Sundays from 13:30 to 14:30 UTC. That's Sundays from 13:30 to 14:30 UTC on a frequency of 11835 kHz. So do tune in. We do have actually some special programs coming up. One of them is going to be in the month of October, where we're going to be relaying a very special broadcast for Halloween. Now, I think some of you right now are putting two and two together Yes, we're going to be broadcasting the original War of the Worlds that was prepared by Orson Welles for CBS Radio as part of the Mercury Theater, based on a book by H.G. Wells. And that's going to be on October the 27th from 1330 to 1430 UTC. Now, for that program, by the way, I should mention there won't be any announcements. Meaning, how would I put it? Put it this way. We're just going to be broadcasting the show, and that's it. You'll hear the little PCJ ID at the beginning and at the end, but that's it. Just for a few seconds, and the rest of the transmission will be that broadcast. The next thing, of course, I want to tell you about is we're also planning to do a couple of DRM tests in the month of October as well, and we're going to be targeting those to two regions, one to Europe, and then one, of course, to South and East Asia. So do tune in to that. Now, the other thing I want to tell you about actually before we get to this week's propagation is something I don't think I mentioned last week, but we do have a survey running right now at the PCJ radio site. It's a survey to find out about the listener and to see what you think of our programming. And there's about 10 questions to answer. It takes less than, well, really, it takes less than a minute to answer every single one. And so that is quite interesting indeed. The next thing, of course, is about our slogan contest that we have running, because we're going to be giving away a Texan S2000 receiver at the end of the year to one lucky person. How the slogan contest is working is, you know, stations have slogans like your station, your team, and all this kind of thing. Now, we don't have anything like that. And we were thinking, how about we put it in the hands of the listener? So that's exactly what we're doing. Now, it's very easy to partake. You can come up with 1, 2, 3, 400 if you want. I really don't mind. And send it to slogan@pcjmedia.com. That's slogan@pcjmedia.com. Towards the middle of November, we will choose the top 5 of all the ones that are sent to us. We will then have a vote from you, the listener, to choose one of the top 5. That's right. You can choose one from the top 5 yourself, and we will start using that slogan in January. So do partake now. You can send the ideas to slogan@pcjmedia.com. All right. Now let's turn to propagation and what can we expect over the next 7 days. Here's Dan Hensley.
Here's propagation for the week from September 7th to September 13th, 2013. A 10.7 centimeter flux of 115 on September 7th and 8th. September 9th and 10th, a 10.7 centimeter flux of 110. 115 on September 11th and 120 on September 12th and 13th. An A index of 5 September 7th, 8th and 9th. Up to 10 on September 10th, September 11th, 15, September 12th, 18, September 13th, 8. A KP index of 2 for the first 3 days of this week. That's September 7th, 8th, and 9th. KP index of 3 on September 10th. KP index of 4 on September 11th and 12th. Down to 3 on September 13th. AR 1837 is crackling with low-level sea flares. Otherwise, the Earth's side of the sun is quiet. Solar wind flowing from a coronal hole on the sun's south-southwest region should have reached Earth on September 5th or 6th. Back to you, Keith.
All right, thanks, Dan. You know, the other day we received a very interesting question from a listener in the United Kingdom concerning shortwave. And it's a question that first I'd actually thought about asking probably a while ago. And I never thought anybody else would. But he heard us talk on a past show about how twice a year international broadcasters change schedules. Not times, but frequencies. Now, those who are SWLs will know what I mean. There's the summer frequencies and winter frequencies, otherwise known as the A season and the B season. Currently, we're now in the A13 season. And then beginning at the end of October, we're in the B13 season. Well, the past week or so, a bunch of international broadcasters have been meeting in Europe for the HFCC, that's High Frequency Coordination Conference. And it's an organization that gets together all the international broadcasters to discuss what frequencies they will use for the next 6 months. Now, this organization was set up to prevent the collision problems that were happening more than 20 years ago. So they're actually ending that very soon. Now, just to answer your question quickly, why is there confusion sometimes? Well, there is, like I said, an organization called the HFCC that are supposed to fix this problem. But sometimes, you know, it does happen. So you can have a broadcaster, let's say, in Latin America using a particular frequency only for Latin America. But then you can have a broadcaster in Asia using the same frequency at the same time only for Asia. Depending on power, depending on how the signal is propagating, well, one of those signals is going to interfere with the other. Now, we had a similar problem like that back in May when we were using 11750 kilohertz. Now, we were targeting only Southeast and East Asia. Now, Radio Havana Cuba, at the time that we were on, were also using that frequency to cover Latin America. So there was actually one region of the world where if you were listening, you would get two signals at the same time, and it was mainly around Australia, and in Latin America, you couldn't hear us at all. So we changed to 11835. So the HFCC is set up to help eliminate this problem. Back in the old days, before the HFCC was set up, it was a mess. And sometimes it actually still is a mess in certain parts of the world. Usually when the schedules change, there's a few days or sometimes even 2 weeks where there are a lot of collisions that take place. But it's fixed up much quicker than it once was. It's fixed up really, I should say, not just a little quicker, but a lot quicker than it once was. So thank heavens for that. Hopefully that answered your question. We, of course, didn't get into it in depth, but we'll have somebody coming on the show very soon, actually, to talk about that, closer to the time when everybody starts changing things. All right. Now, before we go, if you want to contact us, our email address is mnp@pcjmedia.com. That's mnp@pcjmedia.com. You can listen to this program again, as well as past editions, by visiting our website, www.pcjmedia.com/Media Network Plus, all one word. Next week on the program, we're going to be talking about Radio Free Sarawak. Yes, an interesting station. So join us next week. So on behalf of everyone that helped put the program together, this is Keith Pellon wishing you well, saying so long, take care, 73 and 88 to the ladies.